Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do you know what Sean McVay's latest defense of his win is when it comes to the officiating?
No.
Now, we heard him the other day how he was unwilling to admit that a blown call helped his team.
Right.
Just won't do it.
Or compliment the officials for playing it. Let the kids play.
Can't just bring himself to admit the obvious.
It's a bang-bang play, Beetle.
Even if he just says something along the lines of, hey, sometimes the calls go your way, sometimes they don't, and maybe we got a call that benefited us. You know, that happens.
It's Are he and Sean Payton not friends?
I have no
idea. Do they not get along?
No, I have no idea. No idea. But do you know what he wanted to talk about yesterday? And I find this just so ridiculous. He started talking about how Jared Goff had been face masked because he got his face mask grabbed on the drive prior to the missed pass interference call. He says, when you slow it down, clearly you can see some of the things that took place. If you want to do that on every single play, though, there's a lot of instances. You want to slow things down with the face mask on Goff? What we try to do a good job of understanding
is going back. He's going back to bang, bang. He's trying to make his bang, bang.
No, no, no. Listen to this. What we try to do.
He's saying slow it down.
A good job of understanding is that it's an imperfect game.
We know that.
Well, it's an imperfect game.
We know that.
So, because Jared Goff had his face mask grabbed, and it wasn't called, would have been first and goal from the one. They would have had four chances to gain, a yard plus and break the plane and get a touchdown and take a 24-20 lead as opposed to having, the situation that played out where they kicked a field goal. He now wants to talk about something else. Oh, no, you guys are looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Jared Goff. He had his face mask grabbed. Look at the face mask. That's why. You know, it's just a lot of bad calls. Imperfect game.
This guy's unlikable. Like we're starting to find the enemy. You're really starting to dig into this thing, and it's not a player. It's the damn coach. We've been on this for what now? 2 days since the game? 2 days since the damn game. And there's not one person in the National Football League associated with it, covers it, or talks about it, that said that was the right call. Right, no call. He's the only one. He's the only person.
It's like he won't even address it. He doesn't want to address it.
His own player is joking about it, laughing at it, saying, I got away with it.
The whole world knows that you got away with it.
See, here's what happens. You know what today is? Wednesday. Yesterday, they had to submit everything to the league that they thought there was an irregularity in the way that the game was called. Hey, you missed this holding call. Here's play 16. Here's play 23. Hands to the face. You missed it. They submitted to the league. This is how those officials get graded out. And this is why you had these guys in a Super Bowl or in a playoff game because they got awarded for being graded out well. Here's your problem. Keep the crews together. Why do you have to have a mixed crew? See, I think that's part of the problem on the sideline there. So you got a guy that hasn't worked with a guy. Okay, maybe he should call this one. I'm used to a guy that's deeper making that call than me being a short guy. You see what I'm saying? So why can't you grade the crew out in its entirety? And if that crew is the best crew, that crew gets the Super Bowl. And then the second crew gets the AFC title game. Then move your way backwards. You don't have to mix guys up. It's like taking these two teams that get there. You know what, guys? You guys are two best teams left. Scramble them all up and we'll play a Super Bowl. It doesn't make any sense.
And I've gone back and I've watched this play, the play that he's talking about. Does it look like his face mask gets grabbed, touched? Yeah. It lasts for a fraction of a second.
Yeah. There were two times Burkhead, when he went up underneath, I saw him get his face mask grabbed by Jones. There were no calls. Went to the replay. He's even pointing to his shield on his helmet. He grabbed my face mask.
They missed a bad one on Brandon Cooks when he made that catch.
I agree.
And they scored on the next play. Yep. He got his. But again, you're talking about, what are you catching, around the four? Well,
why is he not talking about that one?
You're half the distance there.
Because he scored. Right.
Yeah. And he scored on the next play. So after that run, it was third and goal from the two.
You know what this guy is? He's a petty coach. You're going to be petty. Your team's going to Super Bowl. Get your team ready to play.
I'm sorry, but if you watch the play that he's talking about, it does not look like an egregious, bad missed call. It's just not that bad. And he even admits it, where you have to go and slow it down. Oh, that's what you want to do now? You want to go back and go super slow-mo to use what could have been a grazing of the face mask and equate that to what happened on the play with the lack of the helmet-to-helmet or pass interference on that? That's terrible.
Terrible.
That is terrible. Just move on from this guy. Stop talking about it. Your team got gifted something. You got a gift.
Yep.
And yeah, it happens. It does. Unfortunately, it happens. It is an imperfect game. We all know that. It's just made worse when you won't admit the obvious. Admit the obvious from that game. So disappointing. Very petty, as you said, Zoe. Very petty.
There's no reason he should still be talking about this Wednesday of week getting ready to travel.
Yesterday, I believe.
We get to do it the next day, I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
But Tuesday's the day. See, the reason is Tuesday's the day they turn that stuff in. So they get back, watch the film. Game's played Sunday. Tuesday, you submit all of your complaints to the league.
617-779-0985. Carmine is up next. What's up, Carmine?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
Couple options for you to talk about. One, Beetle, how do you feel about all the callers calling in and being so pumped to say, hey to Zoe, and then just like, oh, hey, Beetle.
That's
second is, I heard Rex Ryan being mentioned about the defensive coordinator for Kansas City, possibly. Wondering what you think it would be like to see him on the Patriots sideline coaching under Belichick. And then third, why isn't Lasergate a thing? If that was pointed at Mahomes, like how crazy
yeah,
would all
the AFC title game is here in Mahomes? Yeah, I mean, I don't think it affected Brady, and I don't think it's why it's a thing. If Brady bitched the whole game and you see him turn around talking to Cleet Blakeman about something, then it's something worth complaining about and getting into.
I was thinking about this last night after we got off.
Jeez,
you know what else I think plays into this? The Patriots won. If it happened in reverse, someone did it to Patrick Mahomes here, would it be a bigger deal than it is? Yes. But would it live on as some sort of story, considering it's not the team, it's a fan? And number two, if Patrick Mahomes won the game here in New England, I don't know that the story has the kind of legs you want it to have. Furthermore, I think it didn't impact the game. And Brady never even, from what we can tell on video, never noticed it, never went to an official to
point
it out.
Nor was asked about it.
And it only took a local TV reporter having a video of it for anyone to even know what happened. Anyone watching the game didn't know what was going on. So I don't think it impacted the game. I don't think he threw the pick because of it, even though it happened right before that. So, no. Interesting thing, though, on Rex Ryan. So Bob Sutton got fired in Kansas City. He's out. Defensive coordinator is gone. Rex Ryan is rumored to be the guy who could be the head lead candidate to possibly take the job. If you're asking me whether I would want Rex Ryan or Greg Schiano as defensive coordinator, it is Rex Ryan in a landslide.
I'll second that.
Not even close.
Yeah. Tell you what, the way that was going and the biggest thing that we looked at in those plays of the week, the big third down routes that Edelman hit in the middle, every single time they did it where they brought a guy in motion, got a little rub, and they misplayed the man. They were playing two man in third and long. Cover two, leaving a wide ass open middle of the field open. where Edelman would get up, go vertical, cross it, and Brady would bang it right on him. Flip the formation next time, they screwed it up again. Two-man. Rex would muddy up the middle of that damn field and make you beat him outside. That's the difference right there. You had this big cavern in the middle, and he was able to get there twice, Edelman. Then Hogan goes up, moves, cuts out. There's another hole. Had to dive to catch it, but there were holes there. Brady took advantage of it. What a pocket, though. No pressures. Wasn't even touched once.
Rex Ryan should be a coordinator in this league.
He would muddy it up.
I don't know why.
You want to go get Brady? You hire Rex.
I don't know why he's not in the league. I know he's doing media.
He wants to be a head guy.
It's an easier schedule, an easier lifestyle. There's no doubt about that. And you get paid good money doing that. But he's too good to be sitting on the sidelines. He should be a coordinator. I don't think he's a good head coach. I don't think he's the guy you want running your program because I just don't think he has control.
Yeah.
And so he should absolutely be in the league. He's a defensive mind. He should be a coordinator. I think the Patriots would do great to have him. But I don't know if he's their type of guy. to give you my honest opinion, I don't think he's going to be seriously considered. He's not.
I don't think he's considered at all.
He's just not there. Yeah, I know.
He's openly rooted and talked about them. Bill's not going to bring that guy in.
Bill likes him. Bill likes Rex. They like each other.
I think he respects him, yeah.
But he's just not. His personality is not Patriot-like.
I think it would wear for an entire
year. And I don't think they're going to want that.
Yeah.
So Greg Schiano will be more their type of guy.
Whatever happened to his fat brother, Rob? Long hair. Would he ride a motorcycle and went off a cliff or something?
What?
That's a great question.
That guy disappeared. Last time I heard anything about him, I think he and Rex were down in New Orleans, and they got the two of them in a video on a bar fight. I remember them at the Combine together. I remember Bill walking down a Combine, and it was Rex and Rob walking with him. And then last time I heard about Rob Ryan and Rex Ryan.
Rob has not done anything since he was coaching in Buffalo in 2016 with Rex.
In 2017, he was hired by Fox Sports to host a radio show with Mark Willard. And then last year, he became a weekly analyst of Sky Sports NFL coverage in the UK and Ireland.
All right, then. Let's get the action update. Action update here. And what?
Let's get some action.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Here's the action update. Action update. And also check out the Over Under 98.5 podcast on our 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. WGN America's Pure is based on the true events of the Mennonite Mob. Series premiere Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, only on WGN America. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
With the Patriots a strong favorite to win the Super Bowl, sportsbooks here in Nevada are trying to attract Rams money. At the station casinos, bettors were offered even money to take the 2.5 points with L.A. The South Point actually raised the line to 3 for about a half hour yesterday. Still, about two-thirds of the action has come in on the Patriots. More money has also come in on the under, so the total has come down a half point to 57.5. The Celtics tonight are laying 16.5 at home against Cleveland. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What about your predictions?
Ooh, I got the Patriots in this one, and I think it's going to be a lot to a little. I don't even think it's going to be close.
Ooh.
You're going blowout.
By 2 touchdowns?
Yeah, I'd say by 2-3 touchdowns.
Two or three?
2 or 3 touchdowns.
I don't think people in New Orleans wanted to hear that.
Call Hack and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. We had Kyle Van Noy with us earlier.
A real quick little tidbit here from the Pittsburgh Steelers on Twitter. Nice little GIF or GIF or whatever the hell you call that thing. Pro Bowl week. Congrats to the guys. And they get the little plane thing with the dot from Pittsburgh down to Orlando with the picture of the 7 Pro Bowlers. How many did New England have selected? Two? Two, right?
I'm not sure.
Two selected.
I don't even know because I don't care.
Right. Pittsburgh.
It's just one.
Nobody cares.
Gilmore is all pro. You might be right. Just Gilmore.
It's just Gilmore.
Huh.
Terrific. A A game that nobody cares about.
Right. I didn't even know it was in Orlando. I thought it was in Hawaii. I thought they moved it back to Hawaii.
I have no idea.
Why is it in Orlando?
I don't know.
Again?
I have no idea.
That's so stupid.
You're asking the wrong guy on the Pro Bowl.
It's so dumb. It's such a bad game. That thing is just it's gone to crap.
And every year we sit here and say the same thing, and then we look at the numbers and they're fantastic.
There's nothing else on.
Because nothing else is on.
You're sure? It's a football game on Sunday.
They sometimes have a basketball game against it, but for the most part.
You telling me Hope Floats isn't running on the Hallmark Channel?
I'd watch that with Birdie. I'll tell you, Birdie. He was good in that movie.
See,
I'm like, wow, he's a better actor than he is a singer.
2 to 3 minutes went, how it just gets blown up so quick.
Harry Connick Jr., right?
Stupid Pittsburgh Steelers.
I just laughed at him. They just put that tweet out.
Okay.
Pro Bowl week. Congrats, guys.
Yeah. We're talking about the AFC title game and how players were mic'd up, including Julian Edelman. And the play we've talked about all week long in terms of importance in the game. The decision to overturn the Edelman muffed punt.
Right.
Which I'm still shocked that they overturned it. I don't think he touched it, but I certainly don't know that he didn't touch it. I don't think anybody can know that based on what was available in terms of the video evidence. The hands, the fingertips below the grass line. The ball goes into the grass. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bottom line, best thing he did, pop straight up and point to the Jumbotron. Because if he's chasing, that means he touched it.
There are two schools of thought on this. One that didn't really have a big impact on the game because within seconds, Brady had thrown a pick and they got the ball back on that same short field. The other school of thought, the Felger school of thought, is that, well, why couldn't that have happened on the next drive and they had two short fields? Right?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they have ruled that a muff punt, take over, score, give the Patriots the ball back a couple minutes later, and Brady does the same exact thing that he did, and therefore they would get multiple short fields. Mm. And, you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
I just think time, a big factor in this game, based on how fast things happen. I don't know. It just didn't seem to me like it had a big impact on the game. It didn't. Stupid play by Edelman, though. So here is Edelman on that play, mic'd up in the game. So we all say, I don't know. I don't think it touched him. I'm not sure that he was sure about what had happened on the play.
High punt, shorter.
Peter!
Chiefs need a bounce.
Peter.
They get one.
Edelman pitches and fumbles it. It's picked up by Kansas City on the muff.
And thank you. The Chiefs will have the football. Julian Edelman muffs the football on the return. As Edelman says, get out of the way.
Peter!
Then he tries to pick it up.
Intention. Did you see it? It jumped right over me, bro.
And this is being looked at more than the Warren Commission looked at the Zapruder tapes.
I don't think I touched it. I don't think I did.
I don't think I did.
I just don't know what they're going to do.
It's so close.
It don't look like it touched him.
After reviewing the play, you determined that the receiver did not touch the ball.
You hear me?
Hey, chill out.
Was that the normal screaming, yelling, adamant self that Julian Edelman is leading up to him saying, I don't think I touched it? He said, I don't think I touched it twice.
I don't think I touched it. I don't think I did.
Why don't we compare that to Super Bowl 51, where he is screaming at everybody, I caught it! I caught it! Because he knew that he caught it. He knew he caught it. This time, he didn't know. He thought he may have touched it. It's like he was trying to convince himself that he
didn't
touch it.
Well, when the ball bounces past him, too, he probably knows his arm didn't touch it, but did the tip of his shoulder pad clip it? I don't think I touched it. Another guy was asked the same thing.
McCourty's are looking at it
way.
Saying the same thing. We thought, like, yeah, it doesn't look like he touched, but man, how are they? They were thinking the same thing. How are they going to overturn this?
I remember when Tom Brady did his press conference post Deflategate, and he was asked, Tom, do you think you cheated? He says, no, I don't think I did. Answered it kind of the same way.
That's not convincing.
No,
Did you cheat?
I didn't cheat.
I don't think so.
Hell no.
Did you or did you not? I don't think so.
I don't think I did.
That's not convincing anybody.
No.
And based on just sort of the swagger and the attitude of Julian Edelman, he was not adamant.
You're talking bravada. Yes.
I never touched it. I never touched it. I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it. It's getting no return. I never touched it. They'll see. I never touched it. I never felt it. I never touched it. I don't think I touched it.
Boy, hard to tell.
I caught it. Crazy, I swear to God.
No way, look at that.
Watch.
On the ground.
No.
On the ground.
No. After the ball, carry up high in the air, and Edelman has his hands underneath it, and his arms around. And in fact, there was a bobble, but he was able to catch it before it hit the turf.
I think he caught that.
He's got it.
That sounds different.
Yeah.
I caught it.
I caught it. I swear to God. Look.
It's not, I think I caught it.
I caught it. I caught it. I caught it.
As soon as he gets up. I caught it. I caught it.
Yeah.
I caught it. He knew.
Yep.
He knew. He knew for sure.
At his point of John, remember he's talking to who's the Atlanta
defender.
He just
wasn't sure.
I don't think I touched it. I don't think I did.
That's a little different. A little different. It's okay. All right.
It's okay. You got a call.
You got the call.
Yeah.
That's the thing that bugs me most about the call is that they decided conclusively one way or the other to overturn it. And I think had they ruled that he didn't touch it, it should have been upheld. And I think on this one, it also should have been upheld.
The first thing that
I think they may have gotten the actual call right that he didn't touch it.
Yeah,
I think right.
But the procedure and process to get there was wrong.
Correct. That's correct. Now, ultimately, what do you want to have happen?
I want them to not overturn that.
No, see, ultimately,
if it happens against you, you don't want that to be overturned.
Now, ultimately, I just want them to get it right. So
I think they got it right. I think it's the right call.
So do I, even though I'm not sure Edelman thinks that.
But you understand what I'm saying. When you're the player, you go down. He knows I didn't touch it with my hands.
But Hardy,
ball
this
goes
is,
past
this is one of those ones.
Bare arm.
We don't know if
it.
They got it right. We have no idea if they got
procedurally,
it right. Procedurally, right.
I think they did it wrong.
But I don't you
procedurally they
sure
they looked at they looked at evidence that I don't think is there to force them to overturn it.
Right. So you say I want them to get it right. I'm not sure you could get it right. I don't think I don't know that you have the evidence.
I think they had enough.
Right,
I think they had enough
one way or the other.
I think they would have got it. Would have been most right had they called
them,
it. Had they called it, they you didn't touch it. It's Patriots ball, and they didn't overturn it on review.
Don't
That's
you
what
still
I think
want
the
call
right,
on the field to be important?
Of course.
And so if you don't know, you stick with what you saw with the naked eye.
No, but you do know because
that's how
of the
I
review.
Want it to go. I think they for all the grief we give the NFL about review. And what's reviewable and what's not reviewable and how much more should be reviewable. I still appreciate them when they don't know, they stick with what they saw in real time.
That's just
that
like,
to me is a valuable way of doing things.
That one's like
that
the fumble,
I think they've got right.
That's almost like exactly like the one in the prior week, the fumble along the sideline against the Chargers, where what's his name did enough to secure it as he's sliding out of bounds. But you could tell, boom, right there. I see a little strip of green
right
before he fully slides onto the white.
And what you're talking about, Zoe, is how things get distorted in super slow-mo, and things are you can see things that aren't really there in real time.
The camera angles on the muff were phenomenal. Bang, bang play, live time, that's a fumble and a touchdown.
Right.
10 out of 10 times, exactly the way it was going.
But for anyone to definitively say, as I've heard yesterday in the afternoon show,
yes.
I heard it again on the morning show, and I've heard other people say he absolutely touched it or didn't touch it, you can't
say
nobody
that. Nobody
can make that statement. The only thing you can do is dissect certain parts of it and say, okay, it definitely didn't hit his shoulder or it definitely didn't hit his right hand. You can say stuff like that, but to say that he absolutely touched it and I see it touch him there or I watched it from every angle and there's no part where he touched it, BS. I call BS and all that. Nobody can definitively say they see him either touch it or not touch it, which is why I'm still shocked that they overturned it.
Okay, so nobody knows this, but like they have the screen up where Steratore is in the studio next to us. So he's there for all the reviews. And it's sort of a split screen of 9 different angles. And he's getting the same feed that they're getting at Central where they're going over the plays. So they have the ability on each individual frame to zoom in even more than what you're seeing on TV. So we don't know that, but maybe back in New York, they're so zoomed in on the tip of that football where you could clearly see there's a gap between the fingers and the tip of that ball. When the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up. So they're not looking at the feed you're getting, even though we got pretty good feed on it.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're pulling up to the University of Maryland for a quick stop. Hey, excuse me, have you heard of Scott Zolak?
Scott Zolak, the one who threw for 2,589 yards in 1990?
That's the one. Thanks.
That's it? Because you can't, you won't, and you don't stop. Because you can't, you won't, and you don't stop. Or when you can't, you won't, and you don't stop. So they stopped. They stopped in Maryland to ask around about Zell. Tangway takes America.
You're the turtle. Man, remember when 2,500 yards was a lot?
Jesus. Enough to get you drafted.
We're pulling up to the University of Maryland for a quick stop. Hey, excuse me, have you heard of Scott Zolak?
Scott Zolak, the one who threw for 2,589 yards in 1990?
That's the one. Thanks.
Just walks
That's
away.
The whole bit?
That's the whole bit. That's the whole bit. That's what we got from Tangway.
I'm going to say they're a 95.
It's an exclusive.
It's exclusive.
I'm going to say they're a 95 South. It's like the university's a mile off 95.
We put well, it's only fair. We put something together very special for the guys out there doing this. Should we do it now? Hey, guys, great job. Cut. Okay, send that to him.
Send that to him right now.
Yeah, you tag it with the music. It's perfect.
Wait, put that back up.
I just wish they hadn't gone to all that trouble just for the likes of this show and for Zoe. That's too much.
Why don't you go see the new Under Armour performance facility? Why don't you document something? You get all these kids there from Maryland.
J.C. Jackson.
Duke Dawson.
Maybe they are doing something, and then they just didn't want to admit that. Yeah, but they're in College Park. That's today. Nice. Though. Good for them. We've got Brad Stevens coming up in 10 minutes. 617-779-0985. Kim in Marion up next on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm appreciating the show. You good? I just want to make an observation on throwing. I know the coaches game plan everything, but the risk-reward, if Zoe can speak to this, of throwing the ball at the goal line, it just seems like there's 11 guys. It's constricted. They got their hands up.
Yeah.
Most batted balls are going to be at great risk for interception, plus there's a chance of a pick six. And if you look at just some history, the Super Bowl, the Seahawks tried to jam it in there. Brady threw almost a pick six against Denver in 2005. That was probably the greatest hustle play of all time when Ben Watson tracked down the Broncos. Champ Bailey. And it just seems like there's whenever I see the Patriots go back and try to jam it in there at the goal line, it seems like there's always a chance of what happened Sunday. They picked it up. They just read
ball,
it right.
Ball slipped. You trust the guy with the ball in his hand to make the right decision. Either it's there or you throw it in the first row. Like Gronkowski was behind two defenders. They dropped one defender underneath. The safety is there in front of him. And he's 6'7". So you put the ball up 2 feet above him so where he could get it on that back end line or else it lands in row number one in the end zone. That ball slipped out of his hand. He threw it right in the chest of the guy. Terrible throw.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. The risk reward, if there's a pick six for like a 14-point swing, it's probably going to happen when you're trying to jam the ball from the 1 yard line. And the guy has a free reign 100 yards like Bailey did and like a lot of guys do. Brady's a great quarterback. He's made great throws, but that's a risk-reward thing. And if you look at most NFL games are decided by 10 points or no more than 14 points. So a 14-point swing is going to lose most games for you.
Now, I hate seeing that throw on the goal line. I hated seeing it on Sunday, and I agree. I don't know why they went to it at that point, and it's so deflating. You go all the way down the field.
I see what you did.
You're right. I didn't mean it like that. All the way down the field, surgical, and you're being...
Because that's why. You're being cute.
You're being patient, and you're taking what they give you.
We're smarter than that.
And then you try... Oh, here. You run right there.
I guess right there. Look, play fake. They're going to suck up and boop.
I'm just going to do that. No, you're not. No, you're not.
You know, because part of it,
give
too,
it to Devlin.
Part of it too. It's such a quick throw, and you can't fire it and gun it. Like, you actually got to baby it, name the throw in. Makes it a more difficult throw, actually.
Those goal line throws, though. I mean, he brings up all the Patriots ones. We saw Roethlisberger do it.
Oh my
multiple
God!
Times.
He lost two games for them this year.
Yes, that's how you lose games, when you drive all the way down and then you throw that. And because of the way the field is set at that point, you are right for a pick six in those situations. Oh, I'm with him. It does. It gives me knots in my stomach when I see it too. The momentum swing on that one play.
Yeah.
In the game in Kansas City on Sunday.
And was even at, even at 14-7, I'm still sitting there at halftime, sick with a knot in my stomach. To your point, saying this game should be 21-0 because guess who gets the ball to come out? And I said this is long from over. All they got to do is punch one in. It's a one score game, and they went down the field in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Four plays, 2 minutes. Bang, bang. 14-7. Not 21-7. 14-7. And now the crowd's in it.
Bob is in the car. Bob, quickly go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. Huge Pats fan.
Me too.
You guys rock, by the way.
Thanks.
So I was reading an article yesterday. It is about the non-PI call. That something like NFL Rule 17, Section 2, Article 3 or something.
Yeah.
That the NFL commissioner has the sole responsibility and authority to replay an egregious game where an egregious call or something.
No, it's not specific to bad calls. It's more about he has the right at any point to go back and restart a game where there were just, you know, extraordinary circumstances that forced the commissioner to believe that because of these circumstances, the game should not have stood the way it went. And I don't think he's going to be willing to interpret it in the way that he wants. He doesn't want to do it over a bad call because bad calls have happened many times before. And I don't think the league wants to set the precedent that if you get hosed on a bad call or non-call, that you get to replay the game. I don't think they want that. And so I don't think the rule was specifically intended for missed calls. But check it out for yourself. It's online. NFL Rulebook. Mike Florio's got a great write-up on it as well at Pro Football Talk.
Going on.
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on this Wednesday. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, coach. Congratulations. Fifth Celtic coach to 250 wins. I know you're a young whippersnapper. Long way to go, but it's a pretty cool honor there.
Thanks. I appreciate it. After we started 0-4 my first year, I wasn't sure we were going to win one. And so it's every win is hard. It's really, really difficult. And I think the longer you're in it, the more you appreciate just how difficult each one is, you know, and regardless of who you're playing, it's all about how people play on that given night. And, you know, I'm appreciative to all the players and coaches that have worked together to get those. And hopefully there's many more to come with even better things to come. We're trying to take a page out of the team you've been watching so long. I wanted to ask you a question this week.
Oh, God. I tried to
turn the tables.
See, I was going to go ahead. What do you got?
Now I realize I've learned that I've got to keep it short and sweet and only one question in there. So here it is. Where does that win rank amongst all the Patriots playoff games you've been a part of or covered?
It's a great question. And we talked about this the other day. Number two. It's number two to me.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever replace being down 28-3 in a Super Bowl, you know, that late with only a quarter left. You'll never forget that one. And they've won Super Bowls that I have covered. That Seattle one was great, but this, something clicked with this team, and to see the emotion after the game, and you know it, when there's a big win, you could just sense it. This is as good as any. Really is, other than a Super Bowl. But that's number two.
Incredible to watch. You know, very rarely do I get a chance to watch a whole game in the middle of the season. And it was great to be able to sit down and watch the whole thing. It was incredible.
I know. Go ahead, Beal.
I was just going to say, that team right now is using what is being said in the media, whether it be ESPN or Fox Sports or wherever they might find it, as motivation.
Yeah.
Have you ever told a player to use that, or have you ever seen a player get upset with what's being said about them and said, hey, you know, channel that the right way?
The hilarious part about coaching, right, is that we say, hey, we focus on what we can control. We stay in the moment. We don't pay attention to things we can't control. But once we have a little soundbite that we can use, we will jump on it. And that's probably at any level. I certainly remember using those quite a bit at Butler. Like when we were, because, you know, when we go into the tournament, and when we go into the tournament, it was interesting. I always thought this. We were at a non-BCS school, so I always thought the Power Five conferences played with no pressure on good teams in January and February. But then with their fan bases and their expectations and everything else, they had all the pressure in March. We, on the other hand, didn't feel like we could lose a game because it may affect our ability to get into the tournament. So all of our pressure was in January and February. And then once we hit March, we were playing free. And there was really, you know, almost like this nothing to lose. And then you added on all of the people saying that you can't accomplish it. And it just adds to the chip on your shoulder if you've got guys that really believe. And, I mean, when you start with Brady and Belichick and you go from there, I mean, those two guys should instill belief in everybody around them that they will set the tone for getting the job done. And man, it's just incredible to watch. I was sitting there with my son and we were talking about it, and I said, this is like seeing the 60s Celtics or the 60s and 70s UCLA basketball teams like in real person. I mean, it's just amazing to think that that's happening at the professional level.
You got a big one Saturday night, obviously, but you got the game tonight. Al's resting tonight, I guess, with the knee. Kyrie's got the flu. How much of this is a trap game for you guys tonight and using that terminology?
Well, we just talked about it. I mean, you have to play well in this league to win. And so, you know, this team blasted us twice in the preseason, and their guards really got going. And if you let their guards get going, they give you fits. Sexton's a good rookie. He knows how to score. He plays fast. He's a good athlete. He can score off picks. Clarkson is averaging 18 a game. Hood has been a big scorer his whole time in the league. You know, so you kind of go down the list. Burks, who they picked up midseason. We've got to play well. And, you know, we're down a couple of guys. And you know what? That's what our depth is for. And we need to be able to step up and play well. And, you know, hopefully go into tomorrow's off day with a good taste in our mouth.
Is that how you sort of figure out where Al will take some of these rests? He played in 16 straight before he, you know, is going to rest tonight, because you sort of factor in extra time with an off day. I know baseball managers do this all the time. They say, I'm going to get a veteran a day off on a Sunday when we know there's an off day on Monday too. Is that sort of factored in?
It does factor in with Al's rest. You know, this is our fifth game in 8 days. We had played 3 and 4, and it was either rest on Monday against Miami, and then hop right back at it, you know, and play Wednesday, or get a little bit, an extra day's break. And so that's one of those things that I don't think is you could go wrong either way. But I do think that he has played 16 straight games. Most of those games were under a minute's restriction. And the goal was to build him up to be able to play normal minutes without restriction, which he's done. And so as we go through this intense schedule, this is the last game of this stretch where we've had every other day since January 4th or the back-to-back. And so now it's you get an extra day here on Thursday before you play and you start another intense stretch of games. You look for those for guys like Al, and I think it's been good for him the way he's been built up after sitting out, getting the knee feeling great. The minutes were slow to start, and now they've ramped up. And he said he's feeling great, and I think he's playing in the last week as well as he's played this year.
Coach, my last one for you. I know Kyrie's out tonight. You know, he's sick, but just his knee, you know, looking back to a year ago and, you know, when the soreness started and you end up having the surgery, is there anything you need to do to keep up with that? I mean, he is hitting the pace now where he's playing phenomenal, and he's no setbacks with the knee at all, correct?
None. Absolutely none. And I think he got hit in the Orlando game, and it bent it back, but it was the other knee.
And that's when he got hit. It was right above it when he got the quad bruise. But he has had absolutely no issues. You know, that was such a freak deal last year because it wasn't any real structural issues. It was the wiring that was still in there from the surgery that was causing an infection. And so it wasn't really any knee issue per se, other than what he had already had done to it. So that was obviously unique, kind of unfortunate way to end his season and end his season for us. But he's been great, and you can see he's got a bounce in his step. He's been unbelievable the last few games.
Yeah, if you want to get
really
freaked,
all season, I think he's been as good as anybody all season.
Yeah, if you ever want to get freaked out, you know, after the season, no football to watch, and you and your boy sitting there, Google the surgery. Bertrand and I have done it.
Oh yeah,
and
you don't want to do that.
It's amazing what they do to the kneecap and the stuff that he had to go through. I mean, just to think, oh my God, it's awful.
Yeah, I don't know that I have the stomach for that.
Yep.
I think I'll just stay in coaching and do things a lot less important than that.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you want to be a doctor in your spare time.
Yeah. Well, go get this one tonight. Go get him.
All right.
All right, guys.
Good
luck against
the Cavs.
Appreciate it.
All right. Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. They host the Cavaliers tonight at the Garden, 7:30 tip.
It was a stepbrothers type moment where he turned the interview around when he asked Zoe the question out of the gate.
Good question.
He said, oh, okay. That can be a useful exercise. How much money do you make in a year?
Depends.
Before taxes.
That the government knows about?
Smart.
So,
smart to say right around tax time.
Joking, dummy.
Well, the IRS is on vacation.
That's right. Doesn't matter.
That's good.
You got anything else?
No, I was going to say, tell them too, stay away from Dr. Pimple Pomper. Those tend to get a little nasty too.
You love those.
Mm, no.
I've been watching that a little bit. It's not just pimples. All kinds of stuff going on
bad,
that show.
The bad ones are the big super cysts on the back where they slice it and you got to get the finger in there and through the hole and you got to get all that gook out and then you saline that sucker and then stitch it up. Those are the ones that bug me.
Yeah.
All pimples, right. Not so much. Sebaceous cysts, embedded, yeah, those are bad.
Tumors and whatnot. I'm OGP. I'm original gangsta pimple. That's all I want to see, pimples being popped. Maybe insect bites. You go into full-on, like, surgeries for, like,
spider bites are awesome.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.